commit this time to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again of gathering together. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being called your children. Lord, we love you. We want to hear from heaven this morning. And we know that as we open your word and read your word, we are reading your words. It is your truth to us. Help us, O God. We've already heard from heaven just by the simple reading of Scripture. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim your truth to our hearts. Give us each understanding. Meet each of us where we are at. Teach each of us, Lord, your truth. Change us, O God, we pray. Move in us. Transform us. May your Son be more reflected in our lives as we submit to you and obey. So Lord, I pray you'd bless each one here this morning in a very special way. May we worship you as we listen to you, as we receive your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's message is entitled "The Fruitfulness in Loving Others." We have seen in the first 11 verses of this passage a vine-to-branch relationship. Remember that God, the husbandman, the Father, He's at work in our lives, lovingly bringing us to fruitfulness. The gardener loves us in what he does to us, all for the purpose of bearing fruit to his honor and glory. His actions are of a loving God who wants what is best for us. He doesn't want us to settle for good or better. He wants his best, and it's waiting for us as we yield to him. Now in verses 12 through 17, we see a change take place. We go from the vine to branch relationship now to the branch to branch relationship. Now this is where God, Christ, in His Word is fixing our mind. He's saying, based upon everything that I've just said to you, verses 2 and 3, how the Father purges and cleanses and disciplines and chastens, He works in you. He cleanses you as a branch seeking to bring out the ability to be fruitful. He's working in you. Verses 4 through 11, we see the call from Christ to abide. Choose to respond to the purging work of God. Choose to respond in such a way as to be a fruit bearer. Be a yielded fruit bearer. Be a branch that is a vessel fit to be fruitful. But it choose to do it, choose to yield. Now in verses 12 through 17, this is how we can be very fruitful. Our fruitfulness will be very effective on other branches as we yield ourselves to the Spirit's work of bearing fruit in our lives. Now we focus on the branch-to-branch relationship. Choose to obey. We must understand the working of God in us and the heart of Christ for us. We must choose to respond in obedience, seek to follow the example that Christ has set before us. Consider these words. The life of abiding in Christ is never a life of isolation or independence. The life of abiding in Christ is never a life of isolation or independence. The Christian's life of abiding in Christ will never isolate themselves from others. isolation is not what God calls for ever. There's separation that's different than isolation. A life of dependence upon Christ will never lead them to a life independent from others. God is calling us to a life of dependence upon Him, and in turn, dependence on others, inner working with others. This is the branch to branch. The work that God is doing in our lives, He doesn't want us to isolate from each other. He doesn't want us to live independent of each other. He wants to come together. He wants there to be fellowship. He wants there to be compassion. He wants there to be an outpouring of love that we have one to another. As I've said before, when we look at our church, the mission statement that we have before us is we focus first on our vertical relationship with God. We love God passionately and serve God passionately. And when we seek to yield ourselves to Him, He then works in us to work in our horizontal relationships. Our vertical relationship is paramount. And that's what we see in the first 11 verses. God working in our vertical relationship with Him. But now, as we see, as we yield to Him, we will be more effective in our horizontal relationships. How I interact with you and how you interact with me. We are not called to be isolated. We are called to be fellowshipping with one another, engaged in each other's lives. A life of dependence upon Christ will help us to be dependent upon each other as we are. I need you. You need me. We need to work together. And it's an avenue for us to minister to one another, to show the love of Christ as we love each other. God's desire for us is to be intentional in each other's lives. Intentional in each other's lives. Go out of your way to do something for somebody else. Be intentional. Seeking each other out. Desiring to come alongside and be a blessing. It's not about coming to church and saying, well, I just wasn't blessed today. That's the wrong mindset. It's a wrong mindset. If you come to church to be blessed, you will be blessed when you seek to be a blessing. You realize that? You will be most blessed when you seek to be a blessing. Understand that. It's vital that we understand the blessing that we are to be to one another. That's what God has called us to. In order for us as Christ followers to understand our role one toward another, it is important for us to understand the example that Christ has set for us with regards to how we are to love one another. In order for us to, as Christ followers, to understand our role one to another, it is important to understand the example that Christ has set for us in regards to how we are to love others. So consider first with me this morning, Roman numeral 1, the example of Christ's love in selflessness. The example of Christ's love is selflessness. Selflessness. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Christ sets the example for us. He showed us total commitment. Total commitment. His total giving of self. Total giving of self. Please note that He does not call us to do something that He has not already done Himself. He doesn't call us to do something different than the life that He lived. He calls us to do what He has done. He commands that we follow His lead as He leads by example. Consider Paul as a disciple maker. He said in 1 Corinthians 1 or 11, verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You've heard me say, look over my shoulder, see who I'm following. Pastor Dan taught me that. So often, look over my shoulder as you are a leader of people. Don't look at the man, look at who he's following. If he's not following Christ, get off his path. If I ever come to the point where I'm not following Christ, leave me. I don't want disciples of John. I want you all to be disciples of Christ. He is everything. And if I ever fail to no longer be following Him, shame on me. To those that Paul was discipling, he showed them a reflection of Christ to follow. With his actions, he was saying, this is what a follower of Christ looks like. This is what a follower of Christ looks like. Follow me as I am seeking to follow Christ. I am seeking to emulate Christ. And as I emulate Christ and you see Christ in me, that's what you can follow after. But you're seeking to be like Christ, not seeking to be like Paul. So a couple questions. How do I lay down my life for my friends? As Jesus says here, greater love hath no man than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. How am I doing? These questions are very personal. And it's a question to ask yourself. How do I lay down my life for his friends? What is my example of love displaying? Is it displaying selfishness or selflessness? What is my example of love displaying? Selfishness or selflessness? So we see the example of Christ's love is selflessness. That's what we are to have. Roman numeral 2, the extent of Christ's love is sacrifice. The extent of Christ's love is sacrifice. We see that in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The extent of Christ's sacrifice, of Christ's love is sacrifice. What is the nature of the branch-to-branch relationship? What is the nature of it? The answer, it's mutual and intentional love. Mutual and intentional love. Love that is intentional one toward another. It is shared love. It's love that we have. I have a love for you. You in turn have a love for me. We are intentional in loving one another. We are intentional in agape-ing one another, if you will. Christ is our model. He is the standard that we are to follow. His model for us to follow is sacrificial love. We must choose to follow His example by obeying His command to love us. This is my commandment. Notice it doesn't say, this is my suggestion. A command. It's imperative. We must. You can only command something to do something that they can choose to do. This isn't emotional love. This is willful love. This isn't a love of response. This is a love that we choose to engage in. That's why it can be commanded. Consider with me the greatest sacrifices in the Christian life. The greatest sacrifices in the Christian life, they don't tend to be extreme as a norm. The greatest sacrifice in the Christian life doesn't tend to be that sacrifice thing that really stands out to say, wow, look at that sacrifice. That is absolutely amazing. It's the greatest sacrifice in the Christian life. It's daily, moment by moment. It's being faithful and living for Christ consistently, faithfully. That's the greatest sacrifice. That's the greatest sacrifice because it's difficult, it's challenging to do it every moment of every day. It's difficult, it's challenging for us to faithfully sacrifice moment by moment. We at times can muster up a whole bunch of courage and make that huge sacrifice once in a while and seem heroic, but to do it day in and day out, moment by moment, to sacrifice self, let's consider a few things here. In Luke 9:23, we see these words. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It is daily denying self and dying to self. Luke 9:23 tells us that it is daily denying self and dying to self. We see that. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. To take up your cross daily, the cross was an instrument of death. And ultimately, it's the flesh that we're fighting constantly. And we put it to death on a daily basis. Don't let it rule us. It is daily being obedient to the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? A lawyer tempting Jesus asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It is daily being obedient to the greatest commandment, passionately loving God and compassionately serving others. All to the glory of God. That's our mission statement. In other words, we see here, we must love God supremely and love others sacrificially. Love God supremely and love others sacrificially. Consider in my relationships, consider in your relationships, what does my flesh, how does my flesh look at other people? In and of myself, what my selfish desires. My flesh looks at others as either a threat or a resource. Do you see how we have a good way of taking everything and boiling it down to very selfish motives and almost something monetary? Okay? My flesh looks at others as either a threat or a resource. Why do I say that? When my flesh, this is my the side of me that is not being Spirit-led. When I'm being led by my flesh, I'm looking at other people as either a threat or a resource. As a threat, I'm saying they're standing in my way of me getting what I want. I'm not getting my way. They're either hindering me from getting my way as a threat, or they're a resource, a source to give me what I want. Give me my way. The natural man, that's how we live. That's what our flesh is doing. But consider Christ. The extent, the degree to which Christ's love extends is total sacrifice, total self-sacrifice, total. The extent, the degree to which Christ's love extends is total self-sacrifice. Again, he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What was Jesus doing? What did Jesus do? He denied himself. He took up his cross daily and he followed his Father. We are called to do nothing different than what Christ is calling us to do. Than what Christ did himself, I should say. So the extent, the degree to which Christ's love extends is total self-sacrifice. His own self was not one of his considerations. His self, his way was not a consideration for him. His own way was of no consequence. His Father's way was paramount. I came to do the will of my Father. I came to do the will of my Father. Do we see the example that Christ set for us in the Bible, in his life? His Father's way was paramount. It was everything. And he only, Christ only sought to serve and love others as a means of serving and displaying his love for his Father. I should be loving you and serving you in worship to God. My own personal mission statement is to passionately love God and compassionately serve my wife, my children, my church family, and all others. All to the glory of God. That's my personal goal, my personal mission in life. Because it's all to the glory of God. I serve God by serving others. I love God by loving others. That's got to be our mission. That's got to be what defines us. That's got to be everything to us. Because that will dictate a biblical love for one another. Won't it? That'll dictate living a Christ-like life. That will dictate reflecting Christ in our lives. That's everything. We will impact the world when we follow this model, this mission. Christ is our standard. He is our model. We are commanded to follow. So another question, how well am I following His lead? How well am I following His lead? Am I loving God supremely and in turn loving others sacrificially? Am I doing that? So we see the example of Christ's love is selflessness. We see the extent of Christ's love is sacrifice. And now consider the evidence of Christ's love is obedience. The evidence of Christ's love is obedience. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Christ has commanded His disciples to abide. We see that in verse 4. He's commanded them to love one another. We just saw that in verse 12. And He's saying, you show the reality of your friendship to me in the way that you obey. You show the reality of your friendship to me in the way that you obey. Consider a few verses with me this morning. John chapter 13, starting verse 34, a new commandment, Jesus says, I have given you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The way you show that you're a friend of Christ is by loving others with agape. Agapao type of love, specifically, is what that verse says. Agapao, it's the same root as agape. Self-sacrificing love. Verse John 14, 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We show our love for Christ by obeying Him. Verse 21 of same chapter. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. 1 John 2, 5. But whoso keepeth His word, God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. There's assurance of salvation as we keep His word. And the love of God is perfected in us. It's completed in us. 1 John 4, 20 through 21. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Strong words. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Over and over and over and over again, we are to have a agapao type of love towards one another. Self-sacrificing love towards one another. And that, when we faithfully obey, that evidences the love of Christ in us. First John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The commandment of Christ is grievous. It's painful. It's difficult when we are seeking to obey it in a selfish way. Isn't that right? When we have self in mind, I can't believe I have to love this person. Oh, that is going to be grievous in trying to obey, right? That's going to be painful in trying to obey that commandment, to love that person. But when we look at it from the perspective of the joy that was set before Christ, He endured the cross, despising the shame, that sat down at the right hand of God. When we consider the joy that is set before us in being able to worship and serve and love my God by serving and loving others, when we consider the joy that is set before us, when we set aside self, when we set aside what my flesh looks at others like, when I set aside the idea that they're a threat or a resource, and I look at them as a means of serving my God, and the joy that is set before me is to serve them in such a way as to love them closer to Christ or love them to Christ, that is not grievous, is it? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that my joy might be full. How does that happen? When I seek to serve and love others in service and love for God, there's the joy, because it doesn't matter what happens to me then. Because myself is taken out of the picture. It's of no consequence. Because I'm not trying to love them myself. I'm putting myself in a position to be a vessel, to be used of God for Him to love others through me. That's joy. The reason we don't enjoy the Christian life, the reason we don't have joy in the Christian life, is because I'm too focused on me. Woe is me, I'm not getting my way. I shouldn't have to go and do that. I shouldn't have to go and help out that person. I mean, we make up so many different excuses why they're not worthy of our sacrifice for them. What would have happened if Christ said that about us? These people are not worthy of it. Would that have been a truthful statement? I'm not going to die for them. They're not worthy of it. That would have been absolutely, He would have been right on point. None of us are worthy of the cross of Christ. None of us are worthy of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. None of us are worthy of that, are we? But if Christ would have said no because they're not worthy of it, we would have been, of all men, most miserable, wouldn't we? We don't go to meet the need. We go to serve Christ. And in serving Christ, we meet the need. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what it's all about? It's perspective that we need to have. Roman numeral 4. Well, let's ask the question first. How important is Christ's friendship to me? How important is Christ's friendship to me? Is it worth obeying Him at all costs? Is it worth obeying Him at all costs? So what's the expression of Christ's love? Roman numeral 4, the expression of Christ's love is intimacy. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Notice the change in relationship here. Do you see it? Do you see the change in relationship? Go from being a master to servant relationship to a friend to friend relationship. Why is that important? Well, Christ is the master in a friendship relationship, shares His heart with His disciples. A master does not share his heart to his servant. Christ reveals to them what he knows about the Father's will. A slave does not enjoy this kind of close relationship with their master. Do you see what's being done here? Do you see what Christ, his heart, do you see what Christ's heart is like? Do you see what he's doing here? He's elevating us. He's saying, yes, there still needs to be, you still need to have the heart of a servant for me as your Lord. But I have elevated you to a point of being a friend where I am, you are a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. That's an amazing statement. If there's any epitaph to have on your tombstone, it would be to desire to have that statement. Herein lies a friend of God. Wow! What does that say? What does that say? Well, consider Matthew Henry's words. He says, the followers of Christ are the friends of Christ. And he is graciously pleased to call and account them so. Those that do the duty of his servants are admitted and advanced to the dignity of his friends. You see that? That is an amazing reality. As a follower of Christ, he brings us up to being a friend of his. We are unworthy of it, are we? But he elevates us to being a friend. Now consider, the Greek word translated friend carries the idea of closeness. This Greek word here for friend carries the idea of closeness, intimacy. One who is whom the king has revealed his secrets to, yet remains subject to him. The king has revealed his secrets to us, yet we remain subject to him under his authority. This word describes one who is part of the inner circle. One who is part of the inner circle. It is a relationship of love. As friends of Christ, it's not a position in which one seeks to promote themselves, but instead to only serve their King. To only serve their King. A disciple of Christ proves his devotion as a friend by continued obedience to Christ as Lord, as well as being a faithful steward of the knowledge that Christ has entrusted them with. Consider the question, how do I show my friendship for Christ and being part of his inner circle? How do I show my friendship for Christ as being part of his inner circle? Do I take advantage of it and abuse it? Or do I serve my Lord out of love? What do we do? Finally, let's see Roman numeral 5. The effect of Christ's love is change. The effect of Christ's love is change. Christ's friendship with us is transformational. It brings change. Christ's love is transformational. It brings change. The effect of Christ's love upon us is movement. He loves us closer into Christ's likeness. That's the goal. That's the goal. Do we realize that? Christ's love is to get us to move. Christ's love, He loves us. We are pruned and chastened and cleansed and discipled to move us. It's to transform us. It's to change us into Christ's likeness. This is a good thing. This is the best that God has for us. And this truly is an awesome thing. We are to be followers of Christ. We are to look like Jesus. That is amazing. The effect of my love should be to encourage others toward Christ-likeness. This is discipleship. When we consider what Christ is doing for us as He's working in our lives, He's seeking to move us and change us into Christ-likeness. And as a result of us being transformed in Christ-likeness, our efforts should be to encourage change as well. To encourage others to love Christ. To encourage others to be like Jesus. That's discipleship.
See how it all works out?
Do you see where we're going as a church? Are we on the right path? Absolutely. This is God's will for us. This is amazing. This is what God desires for us. There are at least two aspects of change that we can see here in these two verses. The first is the change of fruit. The change of fruit. So we see letter A, much fruit. The effect of Christ's love is change. There should be much fruit. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that's easy for me to say, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The effect of Christ's love will bring change in the fruit that he is able to produce in our lives. We will go from bearing fruit to more fruit, to much fruit. That's God's desire for us. Isn't that a good thing? Is that a good thing that we should yield to? Absolutely. Always remember, God wants you to become what He created you to be. God wants you to become what He created you to be. Sin has destroyed that, but in Christ, He is rebuilding that. He's rebuilding that. He wants fellowship. He wants Christ's likeness to be evidenced in our lives. That's what we are created for, all to bring glory to God. And He is doing that through the transformational work of Jesus Christ in our lives as He prunes us, as He shapes us, as He cleanses us, as He disciples us, as He chastens us. This is all to the glory of God. All to change us into what He has created us to be. Isn't this great? Can you be excited about God being at work in your life? Can you be excited about this? Absolutely. God is not a heavy-handed God who's just seeking enjoyment in our pain. That's not our God. So every aspect of pain that comes into our lives is a gift from God to draw us into closer proximity to Him. Every aspect of our trials and tribulation is a privilege if we would take it that way and understand that God is at work seeking to conform us into the image of His Son. God is at work. He's saying, the way you are is not good enough. I want what's best for you. I want you to become what I've created you to be. Let us yield and submit to Him. It's not always easy to hear, is it? The trial and tribulation, pain and suffering is a privilege and a gift. It's hard to hear. But we understand God's heart to us, God's mind to us, His purpose for us, then we can understand that that's absolute truth. Mutual love takes initiative. God created us to bring Him glory. God is intentional in our lives. We must be intentional in the lives of others. We must become intentional in our abiding in Christ, our dependence upon Him and devotion to Him. In this, we will be fruit-bearing vessels for the honor and glory of God. Are you intentionally seeking to abide in Christ? Are you intentionally seeking to be dependent upon Christ and devoted to Him? How intentional are you planning it into your day to depend upon Christ and to abide in Christ, to be devoted to Him? Are you making a conscious effort here to do this? Because what happens naturally as a child of God is God chastens us, He prunes us, He cleanses us. But then we get to that verse 4 again, and we must make a choice. Are we going to yield, or is He going to keep on having to do solely His work, and we're just going to be a branch to be pruned? What are we going to do? Fruit-bearing vessels are characterized by lives of consistent answered prayer. Fruit-bearing vessels are characterized by lives of consistent answered prayer. They're also characterized by lives of continual and complete joy and lives of selfless love. That's a fruit-bearing vessel. Question for us. Does your life, is it characterized by answered prayer? Is your life characterized by continual and complete joy? Is your life characterized by selfless love? When I answer those personally, I say, woe is me. Woe is me. I so often fall short. I can't do it. The fruit of my life is not what it should be. Answer to prayer, I desperately want it. But I don't have it like I should. I'm not abiding like I should. Joy? Oh, man. There's times I'm joyful. I'm joyful when I get into the Word. When I'm abiding in Christ, boy, I'm joyful. It's exciting to see what God's doing. Am I loving? Am I loving as I should? Oh, God, help me. Are you there with me? Are you there with me? We are chosen to bear fruit. The effect of Christ's love will bring change in the fruit that He is able to produce in our lives. And secondly and finally, the effect of Christ's love is change. It's a change of love, much love. These things I command you, that you love one another. The Greek word translated love here is agapao, same root as the Greek word agape. It's a self-sacrificing love. It is the love of Christ. This is the change that our Lord seeks to manifest in our lives through our submission and obedience to Him with a heart of love for Him. In verse 11, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Now He reemphasizes these words, but as a command. He gives us absolute clarity. "These things have I spoken unto you, and now these things I command. Command you that you love one another. As I have loved you." Love one another. It's our privilege, is it not? It's our great privilege to love one another. We must choose to lovingly obey, and we must choose to obediently love. We must choose to lovingly obey, and we must choose to obediently love. Saying the same thing, yes, but no. Where's the focus? Be obedient in love, and love in your obedience. Is my love encouraging others towards Christ's likeness? Is my love encouraging others to change? Yeah, I tell them the truth and just give it to them like it is. No, that's the wrong kind of change. That's not grace. That's not love. I speak the truth because I love them. No, you're getting it all wrong. It's speaking the truth in love. That in love is both a starter. You love them enough to say the truth to them, but you say the truth in a loving way that encourages change. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So what's my next step? Are you hearing what God is saying? Are you taking God at His word and believing it to be true? Selflessness. Am I selfless in following Christ's example? Sacrifice. Am I willing to be obedient to Christ at any cost? When it comes to obedience, is my obedience to Christ evident to those around me? Intimacy. Do I take the risk of openness? Have I verbally expressed love to others? When's the last time you told somebody? When's the last time you told your spouse you love them? When's the last time you told somebody not in your family that you love them? Think about it. Change. Do I see the effect of my relationship with Christ upon others? Am I an agent of change? Some things to consider for us today, isn't there? How are you as a branch loving other branches? How are you as a branch loving those outside of the body of Christ? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, these are tough words for us to hear because they strike right to our heart. We need to hear these words. We need to be changed. I need to be changed, Lord. We need to love as you loved. We need to love with abandonment of self. Oh God, we need your help. Help us, Lord. Lord, as we go from here, have your way. Change us. Transform us. Help us to be an ambassador for Christ, an agent of change, where you are changing and transforming us, and in turn, we are encouraging others to change into Christ-likeness. Help us, Lord, I pray. Be with us now as we prepare to worship you on the Lord's table. Thank you for the great privilege. Thank you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.